I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ah, hello there, dear listener. It's me, Joe. I notice you've tuned in once again to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. Just remember, we dish out double the content over on our Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Go on, you'll love it. You'll pay your monthly fee and I will literally roll around in your hard-earned cash, probably wearing something provocative. Jay's not going to like this advert at all. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
I don't believe it.
Jay Cross. And Matthew Knight. Welcome.
Hello there.
Another week, another full team of guitar nerds. Well done, everyone. It's not bad.
Joe, I'm always here.
You are probably one of the more consistent members.
I'm the most consistent member.
I was the most consistent member.
Shut up, Matt. We don't like you anymore.
Yeah, Joe's Matt. Just consistently a member.
What is this? Matt's third podcast. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well done.
For new listeners, Matt used to be our mate, but then he decided he didn't want to hang out with us anymore.
Yeah, he decided he just wanted to do work.
We keep trying to keep him off the podcast, but he's found a way in. I need to tighten up my internet security at home.
Yeah, it is annoying. Although convenient this week, because Matt's done loads of stuff that we're going to talk about on this podcast episode. Speaking of, like, being the most regular members of...
I am regular.
One of the many, many positives of a vegan diet. Very regular.
Yes, quite. I was looking at I was looking at doing a little spate of touring.
I can't say very regular. I was touring. Think about doing a little
spate.
Touring.
A little spate of touring.
The stuff that's in Red Bull.
No, not that. You want to stay away from that stuff.
Is it vegan?
It is now. It didn't used to be. Crafted a synthetic version after the British beef scare of 1999 or something like that.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's an interesting little tidbit.
So drink as much Red Bull as you want, little Joe Branton.
Oh, thank you very much. Maybe I shall. Now, I was thinking about doing a little bit of Ireland and Europe in November.
By yourself,
one man band.
Yeah, I was thinking about just doing a tour in November, which would be like a couple of weeks. So it might work around.
What are you gonna do?
One of you might have to host it.
Like Polymath?
Yeah.
I thought you meant
I'd go around and do a one man show?
Yeah, literally.
I thought you were gonna be like,
right, I'm here in Dublin. Just post on the Guitar Nerds forum. Anyone live in Dublin? Fancy putting me up for a night? And all our Irish listeners like, close computer, leave group.
Yes, that would be how I imagine that would go.
Oh yeah, just popping on tour. Do I know anyone in Gothenburg? Can anyone hang out with me for a day?
Oh, I like Gothenburg. No. Also, do you know what this is? I'm having a beer right now, listener. But this is, I didn't have a beer yesterday or the day before.
Well,
how
I
about
mean,
that?
Well done.
How about that? Two
well
days.
Done.
And I've started a new fitness regime. You'll notice, boys, I'm wearing sporty trainers.
You are wearing sporty trainers.
Yeah, that's because this is day two of my new fitness regime.
Fitting this whole can of beer into your gut.
I got myself a cycling machine. An exercise bike. That's really cool.
An exercise bike.
Cycling machine.
I got myself an exercise
so
bike.
So you're able to exercise without leaving your house.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So my
is it in the house
lunch,
or is it
your
in,
whole day's a lunch break?
Is it in the house or is it in the garage?
It's in my bedroom. It's a very spacious bedroom, so it's in
your bedroom.
Second half of the bedroom.
Okay.
Yes.
Does Emma have an exercise bike in her bedroom?
It was good. I got an app.
It's not a
called Bit okay. Gym. Bit Gym. And what it does
is... Oh, I said Bit Gin. No, I was like, a bit of exercise, have a bit of gin.
You put it on your exercise bike.
Jay's actually just spat out his beer.
Oh dear.
I don't think I've ever heard a man dribble on a podcast before.
Oh dear.
You all right? You back in the room?
Yeah. Anyway, my goodness, I guess we should actually talk
bit
about
exercise,
guitars.
Bit gin, that's fantastic.
So Matt, you...
No, I want to talk know more about your exercise regime.
Oh, right,
regime.
Okay, fine. Yeah,
how far have you cycled?
So, I did 15K yesterday and today.
Did you get a Pelotor?
A Pelotor? The pedal? The fuzz?
No, Peloton. Peloton.
Oh, right.
Have you not seen those adverts for lots of people on the internet?
No, I don't know
Peloton.
What Peloton
is. It's basically like... it's like Herbalife, but exercise.
Oh, I see. No, I got this app called Bit Gym, which you place on your exercise bike, and using your front-facing camera, it can work out.
Why did you say camera? So weird.
It can work out how like
how
fast
you
you're moving. It can work out how fast you're moving. And what it does is it displays a route, a beautiful route through like the Italian mountains, or you pick the location. And then you watch that and you're cycling through and it's got the sounds, you know, as if you
How
were there.
How does it do that? Does it just look at your jiggles?
Yeah, it looks at your jiggles and then you sort of speed up or slow down accordingly. Yeah, pretty good.
Wait, you speed up or slow down?
Yeah, I can
does.
Like slow down. I can be like, yeah, I really want to get to that finish line quickly. And you can set yourself like time trials on there. And then, you know, but I guess if you were behind, you could just jiggle a bit more.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just get off the bike and just jiggle around a little.
Have they paid for this ad spot?
I don't. Apparently, it's like a couple of quid a month. So I don't know if I'm going to stick with it, to be honest. I might just, you know, use the distance thing on the bike.
Just join a gym.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not.
I was thinking about joining a gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I joined the gym.
Did you? How are you getting on with it?
Really good. I'm really enjoying it.
I kind of just want. I want to do the what's the elliptical thing called?
A cross trainer,
the J Cross trainer or the row machine.
That's
kind of
so
the only thing that I'm
for you.
What, the row machine? Because I live by the sea.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The only problem is the gym that's near me is really expensive, and I think it's also like very like gym boy. I think
I'm just trying to get as fat as possible.
Yeah, I used to be doing that, but now I am fat. I'm trying to get unfat.
Yeah.
I've noticed that my base now tilts up towards me.
I can barely see mine. It just goes under the gut.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, we should talk about guitars. And this weekend just gone was the most important guitar festival that isn't NAMM. It was Fuzz.
Yeah,
and you went in Gothenburg. That's right, and you went, Matthew Knight.
I did. It was wicked. Yeah. I did not know what to expect.
It looked absolutely fantastic. You obviously sent us lots of pictures of everything, and it looked cracking.
Yeah, I basically didn't know what to expect because I've been to a lot of guitar shows and they all kind of vary. And this one's been going on for quite a long time and it's Scandinavia's largest guitar festival.
You went last year as well, didn't you?
I did not go. I wanted to go last year, didn't get the time, unfortunately.
Weren't you going to go, Joe? But then just didn't.
I don't know. I was probably drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drunk in Gothenburg, and it's in a old shipyard basically where they used to build these massive 40,000 horsepower engines for ships. So it's this great space with a super high ceiling, which is really nice because even though it was loud, I didn't feel death at the end of it.
That's good. Wow, that must be quite an experience.
Yeah, and it was a really good mix of brands, distributors, guitar shops, and it was just a really, really good show with a lot to see. It only took like, I don't know, an hour to walk around it, but you could do it a few times and saw something different every time. So I sort of pulled out a few different things that were worth discussing.
Yeah. Let's talk through some of the coolest things. So you've written a few out on our podcast list, but I'm not going to let you quite take them in order. I wanted to first talk about the Vurensaku guitars.
Yeah, I think you might need to speak a little bit of Finnish.
Vurensaku guitars. They're a Finland custom shop.
I think it's actually pronounced Vurensaku.
Vurensaku guitars
Vurensaku.
Guitars in Finland, a Finnish.
I wish you would.
Big fan of Finland.
I've not been yet.
Helsinki.
But, judging by the people that I know from Finland.
First country to get gender equality.
Mm. Oh, they completed it, did they?
Yeah.
They finished it. They've done it.
Amazing.
Apparently so.
Wow, fantastic. They've done it.
Yeah. Also, they have their tallest building, the bit that's at the top. It's a toilet. So that if you go to the toilet, you can see out across all of Helsinki.
Is there a clear tube that runs the entire way through the building?
World's longest poop slide.
But anyway, you sent us some pictures of these guitars and they looked absolutely awesome.
Yeah, so they are basically offset designed sort of feeling sort of guitars, I guess, with a nice sort of ridge around them.
It's called a German carve.
That's a French tuck.
It's like a chub and tuck. Like
Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. No, a French carve is what you call the. I learned that from Matt from Fidelity Guitars. That's what you call that little thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they're offset kind of styling, amazing sort of custom order, and he gave me their little booklet for custom orders, which is like that 1950 style blueprint. You know how like old manuals of cars and stuff, and it's basically a whole bunch of tick boxes of all the options, and then you just hand it over, and then he goes and builds it.
Oh wow!
And they are definitely worth checking out. They had a couple there, so the design that he was looking at that he had on display was the Converse, which is sort of like a reverse version, and then they had the standard version, but they teamed up with another brand, a pedal brand that I also spoke to, and they had a guitar with a fuzz face basically built into it.
Absolutely. That is totally brilliant.
But it was we'll post the web link in the group, I'm sure, afterwards. But it's like built into the bridge. So it's almost like a Mustang style bridge plate, but with no trem. It's obviously got tunematic, but it gives it enough space to put the actual controls in and the carve for all the circuit board and everything. And yeah, you can just turn it off on and off with a flick of a switch, but it had like full control over it, and it was still reactive with the volume control. So you could have the fuzz on, but you could still roll back the volume, and obviously it interacted with the fuzz properly and everything. But what was really nice is they were all basically custom orders. There was no sort of two guitars that were the same. No real sort of visibility outside of Finland. They've got a few dealers at the moment, but they're shipping some guitars to Koda in the next few months. But I really like the fact that they basically have the one body shape, and then you can just go in and spec out exactly what you want.
Yeah, I love it. I love the body shape. It's a great addition to that sort of Jaguar body shape, having the French carve in there.
Yeah,
they've got like
German.
Did I say French that time? Yeah. German carve. Yeah, I really like the junior model, where they have a single P90 and then they have a Tele control plate, but with just volume and tone, and then the input jack is mounted in there. as well. The headstock even looks cool as well. It's quite a nice sort of slight variation on the Telecaster headstock.
I like the little metal badge that's on the headstock as well. It's good.
Yeah.
And you can actually have a base version.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, oh, yeah, it
looks great.
Yeah, the base version looks amazing. But yeah, they do a whole bunch of relics, different pickups. You can have different pickup outputs. You could have like 3 P90s if you want, different pick guards, different switching controls. Like absolutely everything can be customized. It's just the body shape that you is the same basically.
Very cool. And
I thought they were great. They start at about 3,000 euros. It reminded me of the Fender Baratja, which was the reverse custom shop Jazzmaster they did with the one TV Jones pickup.
Oh, those were so really cool. We were really lucky to see those at GAC because I think there was, I have it in my head, there was only like 15 of them worldwide.
Really?
It was the reverse one.
Baratja.
It was a really cool time for Fender when it wasn't just the Baratja. You had all the other, the normal, they did the
Cabernetas.
Cabernetas and everything. Oh, whatever happened to those, J. Cross?
I just made them for a while and then didn't make them anymore.
Yeah, they should always make them. They were wicked.
Yeah, just made them for a while and then stopped, I guess.
What did they do? They did a Strat as well, didn't they? A Strat-shaped version. A Tele-shaped version. And the reverse Jazzmaster.
Well, there was a Strat. If you're talking about the custom shop.
There was a
Strat. I don't think we ever had one at GAC.
Did we not?
We definitely had a couple of tellies and we had the Baratja, which was very cool. I mean, the thing is, as with all of these things, is the custom shop makes what people ask them to make.
Yeah, of course.
And it just, you know...
It was popular at the time.
I guess so, yeah. But
just think Fenders look so good with those like hard angles on the edges rather than, you know, they're obviously normally conventional.
I'm not,
rounded.
Like a slab body?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's as... I just don't think they're as popular. I mean, even at the...
No, definitely not as
look
popular.
Look at the 51P bases.
Yeah. 51 and 54 as well still was sort of partially...
Yeah. I just, like you that. Know, even just look at those. It's just people just don't like them. They like the curves, man.
Yeah, it's true. Weirdos.
Before we go, we probably should spell out the name correctly for anyone who actually wants to check them out because of our terrible pronunciation.
That's true.
V-U-O... R-E-N.
Pull over if you're
get your,
in the car.
Get your scrap.
Pull over. Hang on. We'll wait for you to pull over.
Hey, hang on.
Just let him pull over.
But yes, it's
Okay. It's fine now.
It's V-U-O-R-E-N-S-A-K-U. Guitars.
Do you want to spell that phonetically?
No, that's fine. Vorensaku.
It's V for Vorensaku, U for Urensaku, O for Urensaku, R for Reds.
But they were really good. And actually, we spoke to the fella afterwards, and I messaged the fella afterwards, and we're talking about him sending us one over for us to have a bit of a butcher's at, which would be super cool.
He's got a friend in London who bought one, and. We might be able to get it off him for a little video.
Yeah, that would be great. What else did you see at Fuzz, Matty?
So I saw Grauter Audio from Switzerland. Now, these were wicked. They were on the same stand as the guitars we just spoke about because they built the Fuzz pedal that went into one of the guitars.
Oh, nice.
And he had a bunch of pink pedals, which instantly caught my attention because I was like, these are pink. These are awesome. And he makes a bunch of wicked fuzz pedals and a Univibe. And he actually gave us one, which was really, really nice.
So
I need to bring that down to Joe Branton.
Yeah, awesome.
He gave us the Moonlight in pink because he was like, well, it will go nicely with the podcast. And it's basically his take on a fuzz face. But what's really nice on the design is he's added an input level so you can adjust it for really hot pickups. So if you've got single coils, you've actually got like an input gain, basically. A bass cut, so if you want a little bit of a smoother sound rather than the fuzz face, which can be quite sort of low, heavy.
Muddy.
And a bias control, so you can actually dial out some of the fuzz, as it were, and get something that's a little bit more clean headroom. And I plugged it in, and I was playing it again this afternoon, and it's just one of the best fuzz pedals I've ever played. And I've usually stayed away from fuzz face type pedals because usually fuzz faces just work well straight into like a really loud amp that's already a little bit gainy, because they're not, you know, super fuzzy. And this one just is just a great, almost like always on pedal, because you can actually just roll it back with the volume control. It's really, really sensitive.
Did you just describe a fuzz as an always on pedal?
Yeah. It just made everything sound better, because you can just roll back the volume and you get this amazing clean sound with just a little bit of breakup. And then as you roll the volume up, it becomes really, really distorted.
Oh, amazing.
It's just one of those pedals that's just, it's all about the volume control. It was wicked. And yeah, he makes a bunch of other stuff. He does a really, really nice Univibe like clone, right. Which looked amazing. And he had a bunch of stuff in a load of different colors.
I really like that he had that he has an interesting use of knobs on his pedals as well, like some really oversized ones. And like there's no standard conventional design from pedal to pedal. They all seem very unique and interesting. Even things like the Fuller drive, which looks like it has a couple of little dip switches on the side of the pedal, and kind of oversized like 70s hi-fi looking control knobs. Super cool.
Yeah. And obviously, as I said, based on a fuzz face, and he hand matches all the components, which is really nice. I just was super, super impressed. And it looks like he makes a bunch of cool stuff. So hopefully he's going to send us a couple of other bits to try as well.
Awesome.
I tried the Univibe briefly and it was amazing. But he brought this over. We were sort of plugging it into the Marshall that we had set up with the Tube Amp Expander. And I was just like, this thing sounds amazing. Just one of those pedals that's just inspiring to play. And I usually only find that with like delays and reverbs, because I'm like, oh, everything sounds, you know, wonderful. And this just made my guitar just sound amazing.
Awesome.
So yeah, I was really impressed.
So we've done guitars, we've done effects pedals. Surely you must have also seen an amplifier brand.
Yes. And I think I'm going to buy one. I tried this amp. Honestly, I tried this out. I was just wandering around.
Anyone else who buys and sells amps with the frequency of Matt Knight?
All the time.
Most people get effects pedals or guitars.
You say that. I've had the same Morgan amp for 3 years now, and I haven't bought or sold anything else.
Oh,
the only thing I've had is other cabs. Yeah, and in fact, I'm actually only down to that one amp.
Really? Oh my goodness.
I'm running a completely mono rig. Far more gigable than
that sounds,
usual.
Unless
you count
far too gigable for you, Matt, I'm afraid.
Well, you could count my Roland Microcube. Which isn't really giggable, so technically makes the rig ungiggable.
Wait, don't you have any jazz choruses anymore?
No, I sold it. It was too loud.
It was a 50.
Yeah, but it had that kind of non-linear volume control in the sense that it was either off or on.
Oh, yeah.
So it just made it kind of a little bit difficult to use. But this, Olsen amp.
Olsen amps. Now, they look very you, because they're sort of very big, proper looking. They've got something of that sort of Morgan-y, Friedman-y vibe to them.
Yeah, they basically, I'd never heard of this brand before. They were based one stand behind us. The reason I went over to the stand was actually because he makes pedals, and he had some show exclusive pedals, one of each color, one of which was Pink Sparkle. So I was like, oh, yeah, can I just try this Pink Sparkle pedal? And he was like, oh, do you want to plug into these amps? I actually make the amps. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. We tried this little sort of reverb combo. And then he had this new amp called the Little Hill. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll plug it in. Two channels seemed relatively simple. And I was sort of playing it. I was like, well, I'm just going to turn the overdrive pedal off. Wasn't really feeling it. And I just played the amp and was like, this thing sounds amazing. Just one of the best clean sounds. It was just really rich, really... like had loads of bottom end. It was like a really, really tight sound. And I was like, this thing sounds incredible. He's like, how much do these retail for? Obviously they're hand built by you. And he was like, oh, this one's like €1,000. I was like,
what?
I was like, that is amazing.
Wait, in that case, how much does he sell like his custom Reverb 18s and the Club 15 for?
Well, I think they obviously, they go up a little bit more. I think they were like 1,700, 1,800. I mean, it's worth checking on, obviously, on the website, but this model was all brand new. The drive to go quite heavy. It was nice actually, because it was very, very similar to the clean channel with just a little bit more breakup. And I was like, oh, do you do any other colors? And he was like, yeah, I can do all colors. I was like, oh, can you do it in pink Tolex? He was like, yes. And I was like, great, I'll email you. I'll email you when I get back to the UK.
Classic McKnight.
Honestly, it was wicked. And I looked at their dealers. They don't have anyone. They're basically only available in Sweden, Denmark, Finland.
Right.
And that's it. I was like,
oh, they get all the best gear.
I mean, this was the great thing about the show. There was loads of brands I'd never heard of that were there that only seemed to be available in sort of like Scandinavia. And I was like, oh man, we're like totally missing out. And we should definitely go next year. But yeah, this brand, Olsen Amplification, were wicked. They do a bunch of like combos, little heads. They do a 100-watt head. They had a bunch of prototypes on the stand as well, the pedals. But this little 20-watt EL84 head was amazing. Awesome. I was like, it was the first time I plugged an amp and gone, yes, this is great. And the nice thing is it had an effects loop because it had no reverb. I was like, definitely needs a little bit of reverb. And he's like, oh, you can actually patch the send and return together. And then there's a send level and a return level. So you can use it as a boost if you want as well, which I thought was quite cool.
That is cool.
That's like the old Supersonic. Do you remember the Supersonic 60?
Yeah.
Could do that as well.
Yeah.
On the foot switch, which was quite cool. No. So yeah, they were really, really impressive amplifiers.
Amazing. So we've done guitars, we've done effects, we've done amplifiers. Of course, we've got to talk about da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm a soul man. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Are you okay?
Yeah, it's there's a pedal board manufacturer called Soul Man.
Oh,
right. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Are you okay?
The segue.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yes. So Soul Man pedal boards. I would say the classier option from a pedal train, basically. So these are wooden end-cheeked pedal boards that have a back panel space and a side panel space for modules. So you can get things like power modules or sort of audio routing modules.
Yes, that's what you want.
But what I really liked was the actual panel design of the actual board itself, because rather than slats, it was kind of like circles, rounded rectangles on the design. So you can actually be a little bit more modular about how you actually wanted to set your pedals up. You weren't tied to the slats on there and then having a mini pedal and it falling through the slats, for example.
I see.
And then so you can basically build your ideal pedal board. You can have that. You can pick the modules. They make a bunch of custom modules as well.
The modules thing is really,
it's really smart.
Being
That's
able
really
to have
smart.
Your in and outs in one place and your power, because you have that on the Friedman pedal boards, which I use, and it's that's fantastic. It's a really useful thing. And obviously, you can get those kind of built in on things like Schmitt Array and Alder and Ash and stuff. But yeah, this looks. I really like that they're making this. Not custom shop.
Here's the frame and like we'll put it together how you want.
It's really
smart. The website looks really good. It's if you're not really understanding what we're saying, you should have a look at the website.
The only thing I would say is, and you'll have to tell me how this compares with other brands like Alder and Ash and stuff, the smallest pedal board they do, I'm pretty sure this is the smallest, the XS44. It comes with a gig bag, but the price, looking at, they've got a reverb store, so this is converted from, I assume, a euro price. The pound price is, for the smallest board they do, is £383.18.
That's a chunk.
They are expensive.
The largest pedal board they do is £741.
I don't keep the same things on my pedal board long enough to.
How much was the smallest one?
£383.
Well, on their website, it's €219.
Oh right, that's weird. Yeah, so maybe this isn't quite the smallest one then. But
So the smallest one they make is the XS44, but the pedal boards come totally blank. So they don't come with a case.
You've got
to
get the modules.
Come with any modules.
Gotcha.
So the idea is that you buy the modules that you want. And then you buy either the case or the hard case, or in the case of someone like me who never takes their pedal board anywhere, neither. So you can just buy it without. Basically, the M75, which is the biggest one, is €369, which, to be honest, is about average if you're looking for a custom-built pedal board.
Oh, custom-built boards are expensive, aren't they?
They are expensive. They are expensive. And there's, you know, there is a lot of great choices out there. And obviously the price ramps up when you start looking at the flight cases, which was a similar thing to the pedal train. They did the same sort of thing. But I think it's the modules that obviously make the difference. Now, they are or can be relatively pricey, but having seen them at the show, they are rock solid. They are really, really well built. And they had a couple of show boards on display. And I was like, if you want a really classy looking pedal board that is, you know, functional and works for your, you know, your setup, they're definitely worth a look. They had, it's worth checking out their Instagram. They had a really good model lined up of the M75, which was the biggest one. And it's when you see the pedal boards built, you're like, yes, it looks amazing.
Very cool.
So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning. Just having a look at it now, like you say, Matt, basically what they've got on Reverb are like pre-built boards. So for the £741.29.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That's the biggest board, plus the power module and what looks like some like effects loops, I think. Doesn't actually say in the description here, I don't think. But yeah, it looks like there's some effects loop there, and it comes with the flight case as well. So that explains why they're showing at nearly 750 quid. It's all, that's basically all the stuff and
right,
more.
Right.
Oh, and I mean, if you look at the equivalent, if you look at the equivalent flight case size from, say, custom pedal boards, they're about the same, 600-700.
Right.
I guess Alder and Ash, if you probably had something similar, it'd be worth checking with Rich on his website. But a little bit cheaper. I think the hard case makes a difference. But having seen these hard cases, they were like totally roadworthy. And they had wheels.
Now, we've had guitars, we've had amps, we've had effects pedals, we've had pedal boards. The only thing we're missing is something crazy. You saw something weird and modular, right?
Yeah, these guitars are weird, totally weird. So I saw them and I was like, one of them had, I mean the thing that caught my eye was just the crazy graphics. And we went over and then the guy started chatting, so we started speaking a little bit more about the guitar, and the more he spoke about it, the more weird they became.
So these are Ego guitars,
yeah, from Marsoni Lab. They are modular guitars, so the arm wood, the tone controls, and the neck can all be switched, but not just like rosewood or maple. You can go from 6 to 8 strings. So they all have the same neck size. So rather than changing the neck has an additional bit of pocket, I guess, that attaches to one side. And everything can be totally switched out. For different woods, different materials, different designs. You can basically get the guitar and then have like custom paint. You can do whatever you want, basically. You can have different bridges. They were weird. But incredibly well built. They had some amazing, like, you know, they were like solid brass bridges and...
And they look proper weird. They remind me of the birdfish.
Yes, exactly. I think it takes that sort of design. They even have things like an NFC core chip that basically keeps all the data about the guitar, including its history and its current owner. So building in some anti-theft technology there.
Oh, that's
Can you use it to pay for your sandwich?
Oh, that would be great. Amazing. Oh, that's what I want. Contactless on my guitar.
Imagine if every guitar started doing that, though, and when you buy it, you have to like register your details on there so that if you buy a used guitar down the line, you can see who the previous owners were.
I'm sure that Gibson were trying to do that at one point.
Of course they were.
You could basically take stock and then register that guitar to a particular person. I mean, it sort of makes sense in a way.
I'm into it. I'd love to know who owns, like, my... I mean, the guitars I've got now I've all bought from new, but, like, in the past, I would love to have known who owns
all
the guitars.
All the guitars you've owned, you bought from new?
Yeah. Bartelli, just literally just got that.
But you're, like, Mr...
Les Paul Jr.
sort of deal hunter.
Yeah, but now I'm just, like, buy it from new and then keep it for ages, and then it's, like, nice second-hand guitar, but you've always owned it. So.
Oh, that's true. That is pretty cool.
It'd be great to, on the guitars that I have had the second hand, I'd love to know details of the previous owners. Probably some GDPR implications.
I'm sure there's some serious GDPR implications. Absolutely. Marconi Lab, not Macaroni Lab, which is what I first thought it said.
The best of all labs.
Marconi Lab, they also make some sunglasses. Did you see those? Ego.
They were not on the stand, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
They've got a great name. It's the Ego Sunglass Thunder 2K17, which is absolutely fantastic, if you ask me.
Oh, that's what every guitar brand needs, good additional merchandise. And that's
I agree. Accessories are the best.
Accessories are important. I was, Eastwood, they do some good airline accessories. They've got like T-shirts, straps, chrome airline badges that you can get. That's very cool. That's what you need. Accessories.
Yeah. Or you could just, you could get accessories for your modular guitar, including different tone controls and a 7 or 6 string neck, depending on what you're feeling like.
You say it's the same neck?
So you kind of have to look at the picture to be able to kind of understand it fully. So you've got obviously the neck, and then there's an additional bit of wood at the base of the neck. And that neck pocket design is common on 6, 7, and 8 string necks. So the way that they've designed their necks means that you can have any number of strings that they make and it will fit in any of their guitars. So you don't have to buy a 6-string version of their guitar and a 7-string. You can just buy the 6-string neck and the 7-string neck and then change them over when you want. Obviously, you'd need a different...
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Need the bridge, but everything can be taken off and replaced. You can put a 7-string bridge on. Yeah, you can change the tone controls from active to passive. There was the Relish guitars that were doing a similar thing for the pickups and stuff that you could switch out. They've sort of taken that idea of the birdfish and being able to swap everything, basically.
That is really weird, the fact that there's like kind of this little transition piece which allows you to, which is basically like a rumble pack that lets you just,
Dreamcast VMU.
It's really weird. It's good though. I like
it. What was the first console to do that? The N64?
Yeah.
Rumble pack.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Rumble pack.
Good stuff. I was going to say their online shop is really weird because not only do they sell sunglasses, but they just sell like strap bodies as well.
Yeah.
Les Paul bodies.
It's a really weird website. It's like a website from 1992.
Yeah, it's very, very,
very
odd.
Strange. Matt, speaking of the past, you must have also seen some cool old vintage guitars at Fuzz.
I did. There was an amazing vintage booth opposite us that had, they had an original 808, which was amazing. And they had a bunch of pedals and stuff and a crazy little travel guitar. But they had some real like guitars that we as guitar nerds would be into, like a 55 Les Paul Jr. in basically mint condition. It was amazing. And this crazy, like, 56 P bass, and it was, like, £7. It was the lightest bass I've ever picked up. Yeah, £7 in price and in weight.
P bases aren't that heavy. P bases are quite light as a rule. Yeah, but one, £7 is very light.
It felt like lifting up a guitar made of like polystyrene. It was really weird. But this guy just had this like... he's basically been dealing vintage guitars, it were, since 1976.
Right.
And he's like the most known... apparently he's one of the most known vintage dealers like globally, but obviously in Scandinavia he's like the guy to go to. And he just had like, he had a mint condition 62 Strat, he had a bunch of amazing P bass, loads of cool colors, he had some cool like more modern custom shop stuff, he had a couple of vintage SGs. It was just like the best selection of all the best years as well. Right. Not just like here's like some random like late 60s stuff. It's like, no, here's some like cool early 60s stuff. Here's the colors you'd expect for this year and this year. But the one thing that did surprise me, and I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but how much this, well, actually it was weird how much 70s stuff is going for, but how much 50s and 60s stuff has come down in price.
Really? Why? Oh, it's because most of it's completely wrecked now and is a bit unplayable.
Well, I just think the prices got ridiculous, and I think the bubble kind of burst. And I'm sort of doing a little bit of research and talking to some other people about it, and I think basically prices were just getting ridiculous. So people just stopped buying them because they were like, actually, I could just go and buy a custom shop.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there was a couple of other shops I had there. There's a shop that had a 54 Strat in two-tone sunburst, and it was just like just played enough to make it look amazing,
right?
And it was like $22,000.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
I mean, it is a lot of money, but they were easily going for like way more than that not so long ago. But one thing that did catch my eye, and I was super tempted, I was like, oh man, that'd be a cool guitar to own. And then I looked at it again, and I was like, it is ridiculous. But an ES-140.
Oh, is that the three-quarter size Gibson?
It's a three-quarter sized 175.
Oh, but they're scratch plateless, aren't they?
No. I can see an example here. I've seen a few examples here. They've all got scratch plates on, but the scratch plate is really small.
Yeah. They look absolutely fantastic. They're quite slim, aren't they, just because the pickups are big on the body comparatively.
They're basically, imagine a 175, but shrunk to the size of a Les Paul, but then with a three-quarter neck on there.
How much was it? It was £1,700.
Oh, that is like, reasonable. What year was it?
Like 1958, I think.
2014.
1958 for £1,800. I mean, why did you buy it?
Because the thing is, I looked at it about four times over the course of the weekend. I was like, the thing is, it looked, because it was quite deep, it looked like it was smaller than Les Paul. And I was like, any normal person would just look ridiculous playing that guitar.
It looks like it was just a little mandolin or something.
Yeah, it was cool, but I think it'd just be like, if you had money to burn and didn't mind having a very, very weird sort of Gibson in your collection, it'd be definitely cool to own. But otherwise, I don't think it'd be necessarily particularly playable. Mm. But they did have, after we spoke about it last week, they did have a 125T, which is the 1P90 kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what you want.
I was like, that guitar is amazing. So yeah, there was a bunch of cool vintage stuff that you wouldn't normally see. There was a 1960s Mandocaster there, which is the little mandolin from Fender, which was cool.
So all in all, how did you think that Fuzz compared to Nam?
to Nam. It was a lot quieter.
Right.
But it was nice because Nam can be just like super daunting, and there's a whole bunch of new stuff. And sometimes you want to see new stuff and you want to see old stuff and you want to sit down and have a coffee and it not cost like $10. So it's definitely worth going to. If you want to go to a really cool guitar show and you want to go to a pretty cool city, then I would recommend going to Fuzz.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Well, we should dive headfirst into a big fat barrel full of news. First up, Mark Packham.
Breaking news.
Meris.
Yeah, Meris literally just got the press release through now, as we've been on the air, as it were. Meris have just announced the Hedra, a three-voice rhythmic pitch shifter. A three-voice rhythmic pitch shifter.
Right.
I will read directly from the press release. I have to admit, I've not had time to fully process what this is because we've been doing a podcast. The Meris Hedra is a three-voice rhythmic pitch shifter capable of adding three harmony voices to your instrument and with tap tempo synchronized delay available for each voice. This beauty far transcends the realms of standard pitch shifting. In addition, pitch, glide, micro-tuning, four individual delay configurations, adjustable pitch correction, and MIDI keyboard control all combine in making Hedra an instrument and sonic experience like no other.
Ooh.
So it basically sounds like they're doing in a similar way that the Boss Slicer did with some rhythmic pitch shifting stuff. It's doing that across four voices. So you're going to be able to essentially delay the pitch shifted repeats.
Boop, 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 boop.
Something like that. Boop, yeah, boop, I guess. Boop,
boop. So the delay the... them individually. Boop,
boop,
boop, boop.
Yes.
Beep, boop, boop. So there's four delays.
Beep, boop, boop. No, there's three delays because you get the original and then you get the three delays after that. So.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things that have done that before are the Electro Harmonix Canyon that did that. The Helix obviously has a function that does that. And
it does something that
TC Electronix. Come on, help me out. The TC Electronix.
Flashback.
No,
Hall
the light
fame.
Blue one. The light blue one. Nick Reinhardt liked it. What's it called, Matt?
Mojo.
I'm trying to think of the new one, which is the Brainwaves, which also does something similar.
Quintessence.
Yes. But they do something. I'm assuming, and I need to obviously watch the video. They do something slightly different,
right?
Because they are adding a harmony to just one repeat, where I think this allows it to be rhythmic.
Yeah,
but I think it's based off, I'm assuming, obviously, things that have done it way in the past. The old, like, Korg rack units and the Eventide, obviously, the Eventide Harmonizer. The H9000? The original 80s one did a very, very similar thing where you can pitch different repeats. And actually, the H9 does something very, very similar. But I'd be very keen after this podcast to watch the video and check out exactly what it can do.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've all been so impressed by the Meris stuff in the past. And this kind of seems to make sense. This doesn't really cross over with any other stuff they're doing. But it does kind of straddle that, you know, it's not necessarily a guitar product. You know, there's actual MIDI. You could plug in a MIDI keyboard, but also they're talking about it in the press releases, like if you want a way to spice up your drum machine and things like that. It's, you know, it straddles being a guitar product and a studio product. So yes, I think that this could be quite cool. Like I said, none of us have had a chance to look at the video yet, but yeah, it's going to be doing that kind of sequencer delay harmony thing.
Oh, this sounds exciting. I'm excited by
and
this.
Yeah, it's it looks super cool.
Jay, if you get the go on. I was gonna say, if you get the chance, just for some further reading, I'd definitely recommend listening to Blake from the Tone Mob podcast. Did an interview with two of the geezers from Meris, and it was really interesting to get their background and to, you know, kind of understand their philosophy on guitar pedals and stuff.
They are a really interesting company to kind of come out and not in no way try and make any drives.
Yeah, they're not trying to make a Tube Screamer. They're not even trying to make like the new kind of, you know, they're not trying to reinvent. They're not trying to make the new DL4.
No, they're not trying to make anything functional or usable normally. I mean, even when you think about companies like Earthquaker Devices, you know, who are obviously known for things like the Data Corruptor and the Rainbow Machine, they still make a ton
The
of
Wild
regular
Woods
pedals.
And the,
they just have a couple of crazies. Meris have only ever made pedals that you can't really apply to normal
music. And that's kind of that they talk about that in the interview they did with Blake. That's kind of like their philosophy. Their opinion on it is well, these are almost instruments.
that you need to learn how to use.
Yeah,
which absolutely. I think is a really interesting way to look at it.
Absolutely, like especially like that Otter, the Otterbit Junior.
Yeah,
unless you sort of tune it up with whatever particular thing you are playing at that moment, it sounds useless.
I tell you what, I cannot imagine working in a guitar store and someone coming in being like, can I try that Maris? Can you tell me how that Maris pedal works, please? Because I'd just be like, no. I know. I tell you what I would have done is I would have done what I always used to do when people would say, oh, can I try the Firebird X?
Or, yeah, the classic.
Or can I have a go on this Kemper, please? I'd say, yeah, absolutely.
If you just Matt, go and see that.
Can you...
I love how the Firebird X is justified not knowing how to use a Kemper. Absolutely not. Just like use some of the presets. The one that always got me was the Moog synth guitars, where people would be like, can I try this? And I'd be like, yeah, I think we've sort of maybe lost all of the things you need to make this work. So
I still want one of those.
Would you remember that in GAC, in the bass section, we had that. And I think it had just been thrown there because I'm sure it worked on guitar as well. It was mounted on like a bit of drum hardware.
That was a Roland bass synth, yeah.
Was it a bass
synth? The VG99? The
VB99. Oh, it was for bass, was it?
Yeah. We just never had a bass that ever the pickup ever lasted on, because you'd put it on like a cheap bass and then the sticky pads would just get a bit manky after a while and it would fall off. So people would be like, oh, can I try that? And you'd be like, no.
That was so weird.
Absolutely legendary VB99. I spoke to so many bass players who are like, I still use the VB99.
How? It was such a weird format. Make it rack mount or make it floorboard. Don't make it like have to be mounted on drum hardware. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I think we just mounted it on drum hardware because that's what someone set up.
It had to be mounted on something. You had to put it on a stand of some sort. That's what it was designed for.
I'm so sorry. I've only just remembered what it is that you were talking about. Yeah. It's taken me that long to... Yeah, that was such a weird product.
Really weird.
After
a while, I think like after Krista had left or something, I just threw it in the cupboard in the bass section and it just stayed there, just in the cupboard for a long time.
I want that.
Yeah. No, it's probably still there.
It's in charge
probably
now.
Still there.
I'm the captain now.
It's got D-Beam, the classic Roland bit of technology.
No, D-Beam's totally cool. There's nothing wrong with D-Beam. I mean, no other company has gone after the D-Beam copies?
The Alesis.
No. The thing is, when you move your hand, you move your hand over a laser and it goes wee.
Laser.
What were those things called?
Theremin.
Talking about theremin.
Yeah. DB, like no one else has gone after the theremin style, but done it differently.
That was the thing on the VB99. You could program the D-beam to do anything. So it could be like a pitch shifter. Yeah. It could do delay time.
Well, you did that on a few synths for a while as well. The Roland SH201 also featured a D-beam that you could assign to any parameter.
Yep. Oh, great synth. I had one of those.
Oh, yeah. Great synth.
You've still got one, haven't you?
I've still got one. Yeah, well, my girlfriend does. But yeah, it's super cool. Super cool synthesizer. J. Cross. You know how we like the Helix and I guess the GT1000 now and you know all the other things that have fallen into that sort of thing, and you know how everyone's doing one. Well, someone else has made a new Helix thing.
Yeah, so we've got I was going to try and make a joke there, but I decided I'm just not going to. Joyo have a new challenger has entered the ring, and Joyo are here with their Gembox 3.
Just after Moore. They've just been pipped by Moore and Hotone.
Is there a Gembox 1 and 2? Have they just gone straight in with the number 3?
I don't remember there being other ones.
I think it's 3 because there are 3 switches. Yeah.
I think it's the third one and they just didn't tell anyone about the first two.
Mm.
But yeah, basically, it is, like you say, it's kind of a stripped back Helix style product.
So hang on, let me stop you before you get too far into it. There are other gem boxes.
Okay.
They all sort of appear to be clones of other things. So Gembox 1 is basically a Zoom 505.
Okay.
but it's got an effect. It's got an expression pedal on the side. Let's have a quick look at the Gembox 2.
Is it going to be like a Digitech RP155 clone?
It doesn't look that far off that, actually. In fact, what it looks like, and this is a reference that only a very, very small percentage of our audience will get, it looks like a barcode battler. So, you know.
I don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Let's not explain it anymore. Okay. That's one for the dads. Now Gembox 3.
The thing that they appear to be pushing with their press release, and Joe, you might have to correct me one way or another here.
Duh.
But they are saying that as well as the 26 impulse responses that are built into the Gembox 3, you also have the ability to load in your own IRs. Is that something you can do on Helix?
That is something you can do on all of them, yeah.
Right, okay. So it's not like this is
groundbreaking. It's not groundbreaking, but it's still cool. Being able to load in impulse responses is essentially what you know, if you were looking for amplifier simulation, you then have to, as this does that, you have to ask yourself if all the things on the Helix are worth the sort of extra £500.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that's really interesting is, you know, Joyo have, over the last couple of years, over the last maybe sort of 3 or 4 years, they've moved away from being, you know, the stuff is still cheap and it's still kind of Chinese built, but they kind of have established themselves as a brand within themselves.
Yeah.
It's not like what it was before, which was kind of like a, you know, I think when we first started to see all the Joyo stuff, like, you know, those cheap, the like tube scream, like really like cheap tube screamer clones and stuff. It was just like, this is kind of an OEM.
Yeah.
Like
they were
brandless,
just another OEM. Yeah.
It was kind of like a brandless entity. And now they've kind of become their own thing. And, you know, you see them at the guitar shows and stuff, which is really cool. And what's amazing about this is the price. I mean, it is ferociously cheap in comparison to the other products.
Even the Hotone and the Mua.
So this is $360.
Right.
Ooh, so yeah, I don't know what that's going to be in. I didn't look and see what the price was.
I'm going to see what
pounds.
Well, the Ampero was the best one. I think the Ampero by Hotone is a hot tone.
Hot one.
It's definitely better than the Moore counterpart.
They are £345.
£345.
It's probably going to be the same sort of price. Right. But another thing to point out about this is, I mean, obviously a total step away from anything chassis design that Joyo have done before. It looks fantastic. It looks really well built.
I think it looks better than the Ampero.
It looks amazing.
Agreed, the Ampero does look great.
Yeah. I think this looks great. It's kind of like brushed black chrome. It looks really, really hardy. I mean, I'm sure if you kind of scratch it, it'll leave a mark on it. But it's really classy looking. It's got an expression. I mean, it's got everything that you would expect from a kind of Helix style product. But really interesting and cool to see Joyo kind of like, you know, keeping up with the old boys.
Well, that does actually bring us up to just about time on this week's regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to be continuing over on the Patreon episode of the podcast now, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month. Jay's making me look him in the eyes whilst I do this. $1 a month gets you the regular podcast ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you that, plus access to our Patreon special and loads of other mini-series such as Branton's Ranton and the Hall of Fame. And $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out by me in one breath.
You said that the wrong way around. You normally say, in one breath.
By me.
There we go.
Oh, there you go. See, that's what I was talking about last week, about switching things up. Right, are we ready?
Yeah, okay.
What are you doing?
I'll let him.
Eric Field, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Grew, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Gunn, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emery James Baker, Juan Correa, Aaron Sermon, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kent, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Glitz, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordvik, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Markle, DJ Mark Cross, Michael McVeigh, Carlos Manzer, Andy McKay, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Kane, Sean Arbo, Christopher Waller, Robertson. There you go. Well, very, very cheerful. Anyway, Anyway, that is whatever. That's the end. We're going to be
the last podcast we're ever going to do. That's it. That's it.
Funeral march. Yeah, we're going to continue over on the Patreon. We'll see you there or next week. Farewell.
We better see you there, right, or else just don't bother listening ever again. Bye.